is no other being who can meet the needs of each and every human being, Lord. Lord, the problems and the needs are too vast for any human or any person to be able to match that, Lord. But you, Lord, you know us and you care for us. And we say thank you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us not to be taken in by the silly idea that thinking that others can be that very, very central part of our lives, Lord. Thank you for the friendships, the relationships, the loves and joys that we share. But Lord, may we not load upon them the place of God. You alone are the one that has that rightful place. So, Lord, we come to you and say, thank you, Lord. You give us blessings, you give us joys, you provide for us. And Lord, you can and do satisfy the longings of our hearts. Lord, as we experience more of you, Lord, we discover we want to know more. Lord, lead and guide us as we come in a few moments and look at your word. Lord, open our hearts to you. Oh Lord Jesus, we open our hearts to you. Lord, will you do that work too also by your Spirit? For Lord, we recognize that flesh and blood does not reveal these things to us, but your Spirit at work within us. Bless and help us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay then, will you please, if you could put the first slide up for us. Can you read that? We're thinking about words today, and it's not just words that we'll be talking about with God. There are two verses that come together in Proverbs. You know, people say the Bible contradicts itself. Have you heard that one before? You must have come across people saying, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. Well, here are two verses that look completely contradictory, but you know they're not, and I'll explain to you why they're not in a moment. The first one is, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like just like him. And then the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Answer him, don't answer him. Answer him, don't answer him. That's contradiction, isn't it? No. No. What's this? It's the according to his folly bit that gives you the clue. The first one is, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you'll be like him. Basically, he says, don't answer a fool like a fool. Don't sink to their depths of abuse and idiotic talk. Don't answer people that way, otherwise you just become like them. So, don't answer a fool according to his folly, or, in other words, according to his folly is, you don't do it according to his folly. That's his way of doing it, you don't do it. Right. And the next one is, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. And that means, answer the fool, give him some clear answers, so that the idiot realises he's a fool. Right? Answer him according to his folly. The bloke needs to know he's not got it right, he's got something missing. So, otherwise, if you don't put them right, he says he'll be wise in his own eyes. And there's no help for anybody who's wise in their own eyes. They think they've got it all together, all sorted. They are the biggest fools going. If you think you've got it all, and you know it all, you don't. Okay, so, answer a fool according to his folly, or he'll be wise in his own eyes. So, you see, words are important, aren't they? They are very important. Well, let's have a look at our next one then. Just to show you that sometimes words can be completely useless. Here's a quote from Isaiah talking about Moab's pride. We have heard of Moab's pride, how great is her arrogance, of her conceit, her pride and her insolence, but her boasts are empty. So there we have the empty words of a faithless man. People who are just spouting forth with no substance. What's the picture of? It's someone breathing out on a cold day, right? It's just breath, and in a moment it's all disappeared. Bless you. Right. That was empty words. I meant that. Just saying things, trying to impress people, making big promises and all that sort of stuff, comes to nothing. right? If they don't really mean what they say, right? So in that instance, it's just words. And James, I've called him Jacob there. Do you know who Jacob is? It's James. He's actually called Jacob in the Greek. It's the translators of the King James Version called him James. I wonder why. King James had his hand in it somewhere, I guess. Yeah? Right, so anyway, it's Jacob, chapter 3, verse 5, which says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. You've met people like that, but I hope you're not one of them. Yes? You've met people like that. They say big things, they so, you know, we could describe them as the Walter Mitties of this world. Living a dreamland, saying all these amazing things that are completely fairy story stuff. And James says the tongue is a small part, but it makes great boasts. But if it doesn't deliver, it's only breath. That's all it is. Okay, so let's dismiss that one. Let's have a look at what good words are then. It's not just words, of course. Here's a verse from Proverbs. We'll have a few of these this morning. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He's warning you. What do you do with those words that you say? And we've seen an example of that this week, haven't we? People saying things that have upset others, and they bite back, right? Now, I'm not condoning biting back, but I'm telling you, the words that you use can have serious ramifications. And he says they can be the power of life and death, right? I've got the sword for the death witness, but words can be life-giving, can't they? You know, if you've got the right... I've got another picture in a moment, another verse from Proverbs. One I hope that the ladies will like, right? Because it talks about this. And a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Apples of gold. Well, this was written by a Jewish man living in Israel. Do they do apples in Israel? They do pomegranates, but that's not an apple, right? Our translators translate them as apples, but they're not apples, are they? Apples of gold are...
Oranges!
Yes, they are. So next time you go to the shop, can I have a pound of apples of gold, please? And they're looking completely blank, and you don't have to explain to them, yes? Right. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word aptly spoken. In other words, it's an adornment. It looks good, it feels good, and it does good, yes? And the right words that people can give can be really a blessing to people, can't they? You know, you can do people good through your words. I hope you realise that. Not just spoken, but written as well, of course. And so, words have a very important part to play in our relationships as human beings. One of the wonderful things that God has given us is language. It's an amazing thing, is language, you know. And it's a gift from God in order to enable us to communicate. One of our problems as human beings is that we think we've communicated, but we haven't. You know? How many times have people got themselves into problems and difficulties and fallen out because they thought somebody said something when the other person didn't think they said it? They tried to say the way they thought they wanted to say it, but never quite... You know what I'm saying? Oh, at least I've communicated that then. Yeah, okay, so choose your words wisely. But be careful how you listen too, because it's important, yeah? A word aptly spoken is just nice, the right thing. Next, please, then. Right, and now here we come on to not just any old words. I don't know if you can read the text there, but it says, all Scripture, this is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And the last bit of the verse is so that the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Huh? All Scripture is God-breathed. What it's saying is God has spoken out. And God's breath isn't like our breath. You know, it vaporizes and disappears. When God breathed it out, it finished up in print. Is that amazing, eh? Amongst other things. It finished up in the universe as well, you see. But God's Word, the Bible, is God's Word. Right? That's what that verse teaches. And it's not just that it's human words. I'm really talking about the Bible and about Jesus this morning as the Word of God. Because the Scriptures were written by human beings, weren't they? We'd say Luke and John and Jacob Isaiah, they were human beings who wrote. They're the pens, the authors in that sense. But the amazing thing about the Bible is that this says that God worked through them. He breathed what he wanted them to say. Now they can say it in their own style. You can read different books and you get the feeling of the different person writing it. But when you come to listen to what they actually are teaching, the things that they say, you'll find that Moses, who wrote 1,000 years before Isaiah, says the same thing. Right? And Isaiah says the same thing as John says, you know? And that was another 1,000 or so years later. All that span of time, with all these different authors, you couldn't do it to keep it all together unless there was a bigger hand behind it all. And this is what Paul is saying now, is that people come to understand this, that all Scripture is breathed out by God, and it has a use. It's good for teaching, good for telling you off. Have you ever been told off by God's Word?
Yes.
Oh yes. It's good for you. It's good for you. Because God tells us off to get us right, not to put us down. That's different, isn't it? Okay. And for correcting and training in righteousness. So, God's Word is Scriptures breathed out by God. Okay. Next, please. But, as you know, words come in volume, sound first, before they can be written down. A word spoken from the present and written words. Interestingly, when Jesus... What I'm trying to do here is to show you that the Bible itself is God's Word, but it has a power to speak into situations as well. So it's not just a written word, it becomes an active spoken word as well. And Jesus did that when he was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. Remember how the devil says, you know, well, if you're the Son of God, turn these pieces of rock into some bread, get yourself a dinner, right? And what did Jesus say?
It is written.
It is written. That was his first introduction. It is written, what?
Man
shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God. Right? So, Jesus is taking what is written, but it's not written when Jesus uses it. It's spoken. And it becomes active and powerful, right? And so, what's happening is, I don't want to boggle you with Greek, but you've heard, maybe, the distinction between logos and rhema?
Yeah.
Logos is the word, and that's a Greek word for rhema, and rhema means spoken, right? And that's the idea, that it's the word of God speaking into situations. And maybe you've experienced, I hope you have, experienced when you've been reading your Bibles, you do read your Bibles, yeah? When you've been reading your Bibles, right, there are sometimes, when you really need some guidance and some help, there's a little verse, something jumps out at you, that in a sense is this spoken word coming from the written word, God by His Spirit speaking to us. And there's a good old prophet there writing down the Scriptures. So God gave them what to say. So often you read in the Bible, God said, this is what the Lord says. Thus says the Lord, is the old way of putting it. And they've written it down for us. Right? They wrote it down to their times and their people, but it's got something that goes beyond just one generation. It's a long-lasting thing. Now then, I've got a lovely verse from the end of John's Gospel, verse 30. He says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. So in John's Gospel, John's saying is, I haven't told the half. I've just given you the bare outlines, the important bits that I wanted to share with you. But Jesus did and said lots more. I'm sure he did. Yes? Jesus said lots of things. I'm sure he repeated his sermons many times, not in just empty repetition, but to different situations, to different people. And when Jesus spoke, that was the word of God. It might not have been written down, but it was there for them at that time. And God does that today as well, you know. It may not be written down in Scripture, but God may give somebody a word of prophecy, for example. Or just something that they say, I really feel I ought to tell you this. And when they tell you, you think, oh, yes, that's right. Yes, yeah. It's God speaking by His Spirit. It's not Scripture, but you test it against the Scriptures, of course. But God can speak in active words right now, today as well. This is wonderful, isn't it? God speaks to us because He wants to have a relationship with us. Right, let's move on. Now, God's words are life-giving. There's a lovely verse in Jacob again. You remember? Who's Jacob? James, right, yeah. Jacob 1, 17 to 18. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all he created. Isn't that amazing, yes? Just to say, do you know God gives you good gifts? Right? And what does he expect you to do with them?
Use them.
And? Come on, be better. There's another thing.
Give them away.
My wife's got it, yes. What do you do with them?
Enjoy!
Look, you Christians, you've all been baptised in vinegar. That's the problem. Yeah. God gave us all things richly to enjoy. Now, we're not talking about being silly and superficial and all that, but God gave you blessings to enjoy them. And giving them away and sharing them and using them, as important as that is, it's part of it all. But can you say thank you to God for the little, the good things, the ordinary things? Yes. Enjoy! Yes. You know? Yes. Jesus says, I've come that you may have life in its fullness. And part of that is to enjoy the things that God gives to us. Right? So, every good and perfect gift comes from, not yet, comes from God. Right? The lightning strikes, God speaks to you. And he says, he chose to give us birth. I've got a maternity ward there for Doreen's benefit today.
Yes. Right?
It's a cesarean, is it? So, you see, experts on the job here, you know. Right, well, I'll take your word for that, right? Okay. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Right? Who chose to give us birth? God, the Father, chose to give us birth through the word of truth. And basically what he's saying is that as you heard the good news of Jesus, God did something in you. You listened, you heard, you understood, but when God's word came to you, the Holy Spirit turned the switch on and he said, ah, got it. Right? So God's at work as we come to him. It's wonderful, wonderful cooperation. He's the creator and the midwife, as it were, bringing us to life. Right? So he's chosen to give us new birth through the word of truth. Yes, so that we'll be a special part of his creation. Right, next, please, then. Right, now, we've sung this one already. I don't know if you can read the words. That. Yes, God's word can guide us, right? It's thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. Right. What's the picture of?
Lighthouse.
A lighthouse. What's a lighthouse for? Show people the way and to keep you out of danger. Right. But where do they put lighthouses? In place, well, at the seaside or somewhere there. They put them in places where there are particular dangers from rocks and sandbars. Yes. If you go to any of these lighthouse places, chances are, at the bottom of the sea, there are quite a number of wrecks there that got there before the lighthouse did. Right? They put them up in places where there's serious danger. Well, God's word is a light for our feet. We're in serious danger when you start walking in this world. You know, there's sin, evil, terrible things around. We need some guidance in order to keep us on the right road and keep us out of danger. And the Bible's there for that. Do you use it? Dear friends, when did you last put the torch on? Yes, that's I'm agitating you here. You need to use God's word, dear friends. Yeah? It'd be surprising how much wisdom you can find from God's word. Proverbs, I would recommend you read one chapter of Proverbs a day. Right? It's 1 month's full. It gets you through 31 chapters. Right? And you'll meet all your friends there. Yeah, you'll meet all those people that you thought, they're all in Proverbs. Right? There's the lazy one, there's the foolish one, there's the wise one, there's the attempter, and everyone is there. They're all there. And it shows you how to navigate through the world. Yeah, Proverbs, good book. Right, next please. Right, now then, we're coming to not just the scriptures, but the word, as the Bible describes Jesus. John, in his gospel at the beginning, says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In the beginning was the word. That's Jesus. That's what he's conveying to us. And in the very first book of the Bible, what does it say? In the beginning God made the heavens and the earth. The earth was dark, and the universe and all that. He made all of that. And it was dark and without void. And what happened then? It says, and God said. He spoke. And when God speaks, things happen. That's what I'm getting at. And Jesus was the one who was doing the speaking. Right? It was through Jesus that God creates this. Through him, all things were made. That's everything. Everything that has been created, from here right to the uttermost ends of the universe, Jesus made it. That's not bad, eh? Yes. Right? And so he's the Word of God himself. But the amazing thing is that the God who spoke things into existence also did something quite astounding. In John 1:14, he says, I've got the picture, we've just gone through Christmas, haven't we? You remember it? Just about. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He says, now, there's an amazing contrast there. He says, the Word, now, the Word was the one who made the entire universe. This God became flesh, became a human being. That is staggering. Absolutely staggering if we just try and think about it. Yes? Yeah? The Word became flesh, and John says, we've seen his glory. Well, what sort of glory do you see in the baby? Well, if you've got eyes to see, you can see some wonderful things. And that was true of Jesus as he lived and walked among us. They heard things they'd never heard before. They saw him do things that no human being had ever done before. And the amazing things that Jesus did, yes? Right? And they saw his glory. But, you know, they did actually see Jesus' glory in a very special way on one occasion. When was that?
When he went to the synagogue and they left him.
Not there. Well, his preaching was, they saw his glory if they got eyes to see and ears to hear.
And that on the head?
No, the dove on the head, that was a little bit of it, but...
John the Baptist. No,
it's the transfiguration. Jesus said in a few days to three of his disciples, you're going to see the kingdom of God coming. Right? And he said he took them up a mountain, and Mount Tabor is in Israel. You could go, he took them up the mountain, and up there, he says, there was a cloud enveloped the mountain. And then all of a sudden, Jesus begins to change in appearance before them. What happened to him? He began to glow. He says he shone brighter than the sun in its noonday strength. His clothes were shining. Well, his clothes themselves weren't shining. He was shining through them. Right? What they saw was a little bit of who Jesus really is. The glorious Son of God. Right? What he did was he took this sort of shades off, as it were, to let them see for a moment his glory. And they saw the kingdom of God coming, because they saw the king as the king is going to be seen. Right? That's the glory that they saw. But of course, we see the glory of Jesus in what he says and what he does when God gives his eyes to see it. Okay, so, the Word became flesh. Jesus is that Word. Next, please. And Jesus said something very interesting about himself and about the Bible. Jesus always quoted the Bible, you know that. Yeah. It is written. It is written. Yes. And when he said something, you could write it down as well. Because it's now God's Word, of course. But Jesus said something to some people on one occasion. And he said in John chapter 10, verse 35, the Scripture cannot be broken. I've written the title, The Word on the Word. That's Jesus speaking about the Word of God. He says, Scripture cannot be broken. What does he mean? Can you get a Bible and tear it in half?
Yes.
You can get a Bible and tear it in half, can't you? There you are. Scripture cannot be broken. What he says and what it says will stand. You can tear all the Bibles to pieces. You know, there's an amusing story. Voltaire, you've heard of the French philosopher, the atheistic French philosopher, was called Voltaire. And he wasn't too keen on the Bible, you can imagine, yes? And decided to try and wipe it all out in France, of course. Right? But, you know, Voltaire's been and gone, right? And the music, God has a wonderful sense of humour, I think. Voltaire's house. Do you know what it was turned into? A printing press for Bibles.
Superb. Isn't that lovely, eh? Right? Another example. You know, Monte Carlo, the radio transmitter.
Yes.
The Monte Carlo radio transmitter was built by Hitler for Nazi propaganda. Right? And then he got turned into spreading the gospel all around the world. That's not bad. See, yes? Scripture cannot be broken. You can try, my friends. And I put a hammer and an anvil there. Right? And someone said about the Bible, it's an anvil that has worn out many hammers. There have been plenty tried to smash the scriptures, but it's a hammer that has worn out an awful lot of hammers. And it still will. When I was a student at Cambridge, there was a notice on the, you know, these graffiti things. They happened in those days as well, you know. And some wise wag had put up, Nietzsche, you know, Nietzsche said. You heard of the philosopher Nietzsche?
Yeah? Yes.
God is dead was his philosophy, you know. We've got rid of God. Yeah. God is dead. One of these Voltaire type people. God is dead. Nietzsche. And some wiseacre has written underneath, Nietzsche is dead. God. Yes. Yes. A tragedy. I mean, a human being that could have done a lot of good, you know. But, yeah, the word on the word, it cannot be broken. Friends, the Bible will stand. Long after all their critics have been gone and buried. Yes. Now then, the issue is this. What is your attitude to the scriptures and to Jesus? Some people will say, and there are Christians, I'm not denying they're Christians, but they say, oh, I love Jesus, but I'm not too sure about the Bible. They exist. Yeah? They got serious problems because the Jesus that they love is only half a Jesus. Because if they really read the Bible, the Jesus that I love the Bible. Yes? He said, Scripture cannot be broken. So how's your attitude to Jesus? I can test it out by your attitude to the Bible. Really. Yeah, that's the test of it, yes? So Jesus and the Bible fit together.
It's the other way round as well. They'll accept the Bible, but they won't accept Jesus.
Will they? Well,
I know people.
You do, right. They'll accept the Bible, but they won't have Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Big problem. Yes.
Weird.
It's weird, yes. You can't have one without the other. That's the way it goes. Right, let's have the next, please. Right, so the Word speaks, and there we have in Hebrews, we've sung the song, Jesus is King, and I will extol him. That is based on Hebrews chapter 1. It says, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Stating that again. Now then, that's really interesting. Jesus is the prophet. I'm afraid our Muslim friends have got a problem here. Yes? If Jesus is the last and final prophet, we don't need any more. Right? And I'm not accepting Muhammad as a prophet. Right? Jesus is the last word on all things. Right? And when the word speaks, that is final. No more issues, ifs and buts or debates. It says, in the past God spoke through prophets. Yes, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses, all those people spoke God's word as prophets, yeah. But in these last days, right, he's spoken to us by his Son. This is the final, ultimate revelation. If you want to know what God thinks, ask Jesus. Right, go to him. Right. So the word speaks and continues to do so. Next, please. Right, last of all, I think. The word is coming to judge. Did you know that? The king's coming back. In Revelation it says, I saw, this is Revelation 19, John had this, he saw his glory again. Another vision that John had in Revelation 19. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. Another name for Jesus, you see. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Now, there's lots in the act. We could do a whole sermon on this, but I just pick out the bits that I think are really quite amazing, yes. He's coming in glory, that's obviously true. He says, but he has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. What does that mean? There's something about Jesus that is unknowable, except to Jesus. And it's that
divine nature. You can't be God. You can never really fully understand who God is. Only God knows who God is. Yes? That's what he's talking about. He's got a name. He's the Son of God. Yes? And only he can fully understand what that means. Right? But we do know something because he's revealed himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. He's coming to judge. Right? And his name is the Word of God. That's Jesus coming back. And the wonderful thing is, God isn't some distant being out there. He's God who is everywhere, and he's with us, and he wants to know you to know him. He wants to reveal himself to you. So, next please, last one I think this is. Yes, it's not just words. To bring us back from the Jesus, the Word, back to the Scriptures. And it's a beautiful verse in Colossians 3:16. There's lots of good 3:16s in the Bible, you know. Yes, and this is another one of them. Let the message or the word of Christ, is another translation. Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Maybe your translation doesn't quite put it that way, but it's basically that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to God. Right. Now then, what's he saying there? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does he mean? Take it to heart. Get it inside. Right. Now what have I got? This is a great picture. I like this one, yes. What's this chap doing? He's stoking a boiler on a steam engine. Right, right. Now then, why do you need to stoke the boiler on a steam engine?
Keep it going.
Keep it going. Yeah, oh, you're so smart, you know. Right, right. And the way that it goes is you generate the steam by what the stuff you put into it, right? Now, let me apply you. Are you a steam engine?
Yeah.
Try to be. Try to be, right. If you're going to be going on the rails, now that's important. I've chosen the steam engine as an important illustration. A steam engine, or any engine of a train type, is no good unless it stays on the track. Right? You try driving a train across a plough field and you won't get very far. Right? But have it on the track, it goes great. What's the track? It's God's commandments. Follow the way God wants you to live, right? And get some steam in your boiler, right? Where do you get the steam from?
Bible.
The Scriptures. Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Get your boiler filled with the word, right? And it'll produce enough fuel to get you going for the rest of your life. On the right track, of course. So let the word of Christ dwell in you, among you as well, yeah? But in you richly. Richly, yes. I encourage you. Not all scripture is easy. I'll tell you that. It's not all easy to read. It's not all easy to understand. But, dear friends, just put it in your boiler and you'll be surprised what God can use it with, you know? That's right. You'll be surprised. You really would. And so that's my last thought. Dear friends, we've looked at words, all sorts of words that come out of us can be a blessing. Or less than a blessing. We're supposed to bless and not curse, right? But the ultimate blessing is to have the Word, Jesus, in our hearts, and then his Word in the Scriptures in our hearts and minds too. And then, wow, you've got a resource for life. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for your revealing yourself in so many ways. Through the creation around us. Through, Lord, the words that you've spoken in the Scriptures. Through the words that people give us, Lord, that are prompted by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, you're a communicating God. And I just bless you, Lord, that we can talk back to you with thanks and praises. Lord, bless you for your kindness to us. We thank you most of all for Jesus. Lord, he is the one that opens the eyes, lets the dead live, Lord, brings life into us. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness and grace and mercy to us. Lord, I just pray you help us to get your word to help us to live in a way that pleases you. Lord, we're not wise. We don't have the energy reserves ourselves. We are weak. But Lord, you can give us the strength we need to face each day with the grace that you give. Bless and help us, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.